Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Today we're going to be talking about our fourth secret. We've looked at the secret of happiness. We've looked at the secret of greatness. We've looked at the secret of wealth. Today we're going to look at a secret that I think we kind of flippantly use around the church quite a bit. A lot of times I think we look at this and say this might be the easiest thing because we use this word so frequently. But as I really began to investigate it and think about it and apply it in my own life, this week I kept thinking, I don't know if I fully comprehend what this word is telling me in its entirety. I don't know that I really put it into action like I think we ought to. I mean, we use the word about as often as potluck and hallelujah, but the reality is, do we really put this thing in motion? And so what we're going to be looking at today is the secret to faith. The secret to faith. Faith, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, would have a very simple definition. Have complete trust or confidence in something or someone. All right? To have confidence or trust in something. Scripture also defines faith, and it does so in Hebrews chapter 11. Using the New Living Translation, faith is the confidence that we have faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. Using the Message paraphrase of this same verse, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God. This faith is a firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. I love that. It's our handle, what we're grabbing for, what we're holding on to for the things that we cannot see. In this section of Scripture, Hebrews 11 is such a cool chapter because it talks about faith right away, and then it begins to list various characters in the Old Testament who lived by faith. Because it was by faith that Abraham, it was by faith that we believe in a creator creating all of this out of nothing. We believe that by faith a man built a boat in God's command to restore humanity. We believe that it was by faith that another man left his home and followed the call of God because of the promised generation of stars that would be his inheritance of a large family. We believe that it was by faith that this family for four generations struggled and found themselves eventually in slavery, but by faith they continued to follow God's ways. It was by faith that a man was called from that slavery and directed their release. We believe that it was by faith that this leader brought these people the law and the direction of God. It was by faith that they entered into an abundant land that was prepared for them. It was by faith that strong leaders over time would rise up and lead them. It was by faith that these people waited and trusted that their God would send them a Savior. And it was by faith that over 2,000 years ago, we believe that Savior came. We come to this moment in time because by faith there were generations after generations after generations of men and women and boys and girls who put their, what we call, faith in what we read about here in these scriptures. And we come to this moment where Jesus is walking the streets, talking, teaching, healing, delivering people, and we have to ask ourselves, how do we embrace this? Do we have this confidence? Do we have this trust that is spoken of in the dictionary? Do we have this ability to grab a hold of a handle that looks like Jesus because we cannot see him and put our faith on him? Well, let me summarize what's going on in Luke chapter 8 quickly this morning. In Luke chapter 8, at the very beginning, we see that Jesus heals several people. The three people that are identified are all females, which in ancient literature, please understand, this is elevating females to a place that most people do not. And so we see Jesus as being an elevator of people from the bottom. And one of those people is Mary Magdalene, healed of several demons that had been possessing her. She's a critical player in the story as it comes to the death and resurrection of Christ. We see that Jesus teaches several parables, that Jesus is in a boat later on and a storm comes up and he's able to speak that storm from its violence into calmness. We see in the same moment that Jesus gets to the other side of the shoreline and he finds a man possessed with so many demons that they called themselves legion. Many, many, many demons. And he casts them out, puts them into an entire herd of pigs, and that herd of pigs runs into a lake and drowns themselves. Puts the town upside down, and Jesus and his followers leave to go to the other side of the lake, and this is where we find him. Coming to the other side of this lake in this moment, where a great crowd of people hear that Jesus is on his way and meet him. Now, this is a good crowd of people for our early morning service today. Can you imagine a crowd 5, 6, 7 times as big waiting for you when you get off a boat? Now, there's only one way off of a boat, right? You got to get to the dock, and there's one entrance. When you remember docks, they don't have a widespread place to get out. You know, you've got to go through the crowd. And these people have pinned Jesus in, but there's one man that shows up. His name is Jairus. Jairus is known in this town as the leader of their church. He's the leader of their synagogue. It's me. If you want to picture anybody, it would be me. You've come and listened to Jairus speak. You've heard him teach. You've understand his grip on the scriptures. You've trusted him as a man of God. And now he is bowing before this new rabbi. Jairus is bowing before this new rabbi because Jairus has a 12-year-old daughter who's home in bed sick. And everybody's saying she's about ready to die. They've tried everything they've could. They've prayed that nothing has happened. But he has heard about this rabbi who delivers and heals and restores. And he's getting off the boat right now. And Jairus makes his way. Even as a leader in the Jewish synagogue, this man goes to find Jairus. I mean, Jairus goes to find Jesus. And he bows before him, lays himself down. Now, the leader of the synagogue in this day and age would not bow to many people. You would show him that level of respect, but he doesn't have to show that level of respect to many people. But he gets down all the way on his knees, and he's down looking at the ground saying, Jesus, would you help me? Please help me. In desperation, Jairus gets down and says, my daughter will die unless you touch her. And Jesus quickly responds and says, let's go. Let's go. Now, this great crowd of people is still there, and this great crowd of people is still yelling what they need. You see, Jesus is at rock star status right now, and Jesus is elevated to this person who can do anything. And so this crowd isn't there just to see what Jesus is going to do. This crowd, I think, is there because they are in need. And so they're shouting out their needs, and they're calling out, Jesus, would you look my way? Would you help me do this? Would you help me do that? And I don't think it's probably the very same thing would happen today, you know. If someone were given this great strength and this great power and known to heal and touch and deliver, we would gather in as well and we'd be shouting our needs, right? If you're a teenager, you'd be saying, Jesus, would you help me get rid of this acne? It's incredible. You know, would you help me find Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright? Would you remove the bunion from my foot? It's really starting to ache. We just list our needs as long as they go. Lord, would you help me get that ticket to the Michigan or the Michigan State game? Would you give me those numbers? Just give me those numbers. I'll give half of it to the poor. Just give me those numbers, right? These are the things that we would shout out to God. If we knew that he was walking our streets, and that's what this crowd of people is doing, but there's this one woman who sneaks into this crowd. I don't think she's shouting what she wants, because to shout what she needs would be isolating her even deeper than she already feels. For this woman is dealing with an issue of blood. And when you're dealing with an issue of blood in this culture and in this society, what it means is that you would be labeled unclean. You are not allowed to be in a crowd like this, because anybody to bump you, to touch you, anything like that, would mean that they would become unclean as well. It's the ancient form of cooties, okay? But it was real in their mind. If you touch someone who was unclean, you would be unclean, and you would have to go through all. So if you were unclean, you had to stay away. And so this woman has been shunned physically. She has been shunned religiously. She has been shunned socially because of this issue. And this isn't a new issue for her. Jairus' daughter is 12 years old, and this woman has been dealing with this issue for 12 years. That's a long time. To feel like your church doesn't matter, that you don't matter, that nobody is interested. The scriptures say she has poured every last dime she has into finding a cure. I read this week that there are probably in this day and age about 12 different options that she would have had to find a cure for this problem. Six of them were medical in their ways of going about them, some kind of tonic, some kind of this or that. Six of them were based purely on superstition. You know, put this around your neck or do this dance and all these crazy things. None of them were going to provide much of a healing for her. She was out of options. And so as this woman cautiously makes her way to Jesus, she reaches out and touches, the scriptures say, the hem of his garment. Now, some believe that Jesus might have been carrying with him a traditional Jewish prayer shawl that has several tassels on the bottom of it. And tradition holds that rabbis who would carry these would pray over those tassels, and that those tassels then would carry a certain amount of power. And that as the writer is writing about this, what they're referring to is that this woman reached out to touch the tassel that was at the end of his prayer shawl. We don't know if that's the way it happened or if she just reached out to touch his robe that he was wearing that day. But this is what we do know. What happened is that in an instant, she felt different. She felt the power come from Jesus directly into her body. She felt her body begin to clot blood for the first time in 12 years. The bleeding stopped right at that moment. There's something else that stopped right in that moment. The one whom she just touched. Jesus stops and he says, "Wait a minute. What just happened? Someone just touched me." And the disciples are caught off by that. There's a massive crowd of people shouting at him, touching him, and moving along. And they said, "Yeah, a lot of people are touching you, Jesus." He says, "No, I just felt the power of God leave my body. I felt the healing authority of me go from me. And I want to know what happened." When the woman realized in verse 47 that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. Once again, remember Jairus, down on his knees before Jesus, begging in desperation. Well, this woman, once she realized she was called out, fell to her knees, trembling before him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she touched him and that she had been immediately healed. She didn't want to have to explain her story. Women, can you imagine? Have to explain your story to everybody. But she did. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Can you imagine that as she's on her knees looking up at this master who she knows has just healed her? "Your faith." I want you to put this in the back of your mind. "Your faith has healed you." Now, this is an amazing story, but while the crowd has stopped around this conversation, Jairus is still standing there going, "Jesus, my 12-year-old daughter is dying." And then someone walks up and says, "Jairus, don't bother the teacher anymore. She's gone. She's gone." Now, I had to ask myself, what happened to Jairus' faith in this moment? Had he believed, he had believed that Jesus was going to come and save his daughter, but he didn't. Did he become angry at the woman who would stop Jesus? Did he become angry with Jesus for failing him? Did he throw his hands up in the air and say, "Where are you now, God?" In this moment, what happened to the faith of Jairus is critical, because I believe that it was rocked to its very core. But Jesus said in verse 50, "Don't be afraid." How many times do we see in Scripture where there's this great moment and an angel or the Lord says in some way, "Don't be afraid"? Fear is a part of our lives, isn't it? And he says, "Don't be afraid, just have faith and she will be healed." So at this moment, Jairus had a choice. Listen to his doubt and his grief, or trust this crazy rabbi to save his daughter. We have a choice in all of our situations that are just like this. Listen to our doubt, listen to our disbelief, listen to our grief, or put our trust somehow in this crazy rabbi that we know as Jesus. One choice for Jairus would have sealed the deal for his daughter. He could have walked away from Jesus with all that anger and frustration and buried his daughter later that day. Or he could say, "Okay, I accept your glimmer of hope. Let's go home. And that's exactly what happened. They go home and Jesus does heal his daughter. She sits up in bed and Jesus begins to feed her. And it is a flat out miracle. Now we get to look at this story and see the end before as we're reading it along. And we get the benefit of the doubt. But sometimes you don't get that benefit, do you? You're in these moments where a decision has to be made. Trust the rabbi or trust your doubts. And we don't know what the outcomes will always be. I wanted to talk about outcomes for just a moment because outcomes aren't always promised to be the way you want them to be. They always just happen that way for us, but they will always happen better than what we think we need. And that's hard for some of you to hear who have buried your spouse, buried your son, buried your daughter. It's hard for you to understand how that could be true when you have faced some of the things that you have faced, and I understand. But let me explain to you as I close what the key to faith is today. In every one of these secrets we've talked about, we've tried to reveal the secret of that particular thing. So with faith, I really believe the secret is desperation. It's the moment that these two people find themselves on their knees, trembling with great fear. It's this moment that they have a decision to make. Follow, listen, obey, or move on without. And we have that same decision to make in everything that we do. Now, I don't know how many of you are getting excited about this, but doesn't that get exciting that your faith is going to be really on the ability to grow and get bigger and stronger when you get to the end of your rope? Isn't that exciting? How many of you are ready to be desperate today? How many of you are excited to be broken today? How many of you are ready to get angry, to feel hopeless, to feel shunned, locked out, hurt, and left out with no other options? I mean, if that's what we put as our mission statement, we would have an empty church two times a Sunday. You know what I'm saying? This is difficult stuff, but what I see in both of these stories is people. There are people who come to the end of their rope, and they have a choice to make. Follow or not, but either way, they find that ability to make that choice in the sense of their desperation. So what does faith look like for us today? It's by faith that an unwed lady chooses to give life instead of choose abortion. It's in faith that a single parent can get through another day alone. It's by faith that some put a dream into reality and start a new business adventure. It's by that same kind of faith that we go without various luxuries in our life in order to try to get out of debt. Some of us are trying to do that. It's by faith that we battle cancer face to face while seeing the bigger picture of life and that death is not the end of it. It's by faith that we stand up and admit an addiction and we get help and give it attention and deal with it. It's by faith that we take risks needed to heal a broken relationship. It's by faith that we see an injury as a blessing. It's by faith that we live a long life with God's standards and not our own passions and desires. It's by faith that we face rejection socially in order to follow our personal convictions with God. It's by faith that we raise our child according to the ways of Christ. It's by faith that we trust it will all work out someday. It's by faith that we wisely invest our wealth today to be able to feel secure for the times to come. It's by faith that we act generously and with great compassion to the needs of others when they come knocking on our door. It's by faith that we say, go blue. Requires a lot of faith these days. Amen. That was just a little comedic relief. I felt it might be a little tense in this moment. It's by faith that we believe that God is on our side when the walls around you seem to be crushing you down. It's by faith that we say no to a relationship you want because in the end you know it doesn't bring out the best of either of you. It's by faith that you know how to care for your aging parents. It's by faith that you trust that your kids will do the right thing. It's by faith that you work hard on your marriage. It's by faith that you receive criticism and praise and hold them both in proper tension. It's by faith that you choose a college. It's by faith you pick a career. It's by faith that you find a job. This was just a list of things that I thought of yesterday as I was going about my day, of some of them inspired by some of your stories and what you're facing. It is by faith that you trust when you cannot see. It is by faith that you have confidence when you don't know 100% certainty, but you hold on to that confidence. James says it like this: faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So here's what I want to leave you with today. Jairus could have had faith that Jesus could heal his daughter, but he had to go put himself at the feet of the teacher. The woman may have had faith that Jesus could stop her bleeding, but she had to reach out and take the risk of touching the hem of his garment. Faith without actions is of no value at all. And so the question I leave you with this day is, how does your faith need to be put into motion? How does your faith go from just being a thought into being something that you need to act upon? Because we can talk about faith in the church all day long. Have faith, grow in your faith, just have faith. But if you don't have action to follow that faith up, it's a pointless statement. This is why, when I started our time together, I said, this may be the most difficult of the four secrets we talk about, because faith is a lot easier to have than it is to do. You understand what I'm saying? Faith is a whole lot easier to have than it is to do. But this kind of faith, the have faith only, leaves us with no value. It leaves our daughters to die and our conditions to persist. But the faith that calls us to action will change the course of your history. It has the opportunity to change the generations that follow behind you. Your faith, when placed in motion, has incredible power and authority in your life. Do not sell short the challenges that lay before you. Grab a hold of them by faith, trusting in the hand of this crazy radical rabbi who delivers, who heals, who restores. Father in heaven, today, I celebrate your grace and goodness in each of our lives. This is a day that we have decisions to be made, just like Jairus and just like this woman. We have a decision to make whether or not we will follow you with radical obedience, acknowledge our fear, bow ourselves before you, and put our trust in you. It is my prayer this day that my friends who are gathered here today, and it is my prayer for me, myself, that I will be able to place my faith in you, and that it will drive me into action. It will force me to move, and it will force me to take risks. It will force me, God, to live with great obedience. Transform my heart with greater faith this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.